Our scripture lesson this morning for today, the second Sunday in Advent, is the gospel text of Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Now, yes, I did go to seminary to be able to reiterate the very simple fact that Mark 1, 1 through 8 is literally the beginning of Mark's gospel. But listen to how it starts. It doesn't begin with a backstory like Luke. It doesn't begin with a genealogy like Matthew. It doesn't begin with a cosmic scale like John. It just jumps right in. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, 'The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" This is the word of the Lord. Another part of the lectionary texts for today includes the second letter to Peter, which begins, "Do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day." Again, it's this interesting aspect of time that's there. There's an anecdotal story of a child who's having a conversation with God. The child says to God, "Hey God, is it true that a penny to you is like $1,000,000 to me?" And God thinks about it for a moment and says, "Yes, that's right." And the child says, "Well, it's also written in Scripture how one moment is like one moment to you is like 1,000 years to me. Is that also true?" God says, "Why, yes, it is." So the child says, "Hey God, can I have a penny?" And God says, "Sure, in a moment." Again, this aspect of time is very interesting. Prior to my ordination as a minister of Ordained Sacrament, I also was an ordained ruling elder, also spent some time up in the chancel in the choir, and we also had a clock. This was in the community where I was worshiping. We also had a clock that was affixed right there in the front, and the first time I saw it, I leaned over to someone who had been a member of the church for 40 years, and I said, "Hey, what does that clock mean?" And they said, "It doesn't mean a thing." When we take a look at what's at stake in this message today, again entitled "In Good Time," every word matters. And by that I mean when we take a look at being in. One of the unique claims of Christianity is that God has broken into time. God is here, incarnate. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You do not have that in any other world religion that has the unique claim that God literally became flesh and dwelt among us. As a matter of fact, one of the names that's given is Emmanuel, which literally means, that's right, I can see you mouthing it. You want to say it out loud? God with us. Exactly. By the way, in case you haven't gathered, a kind of like a participatory aspect to, because again, when we take a look at what the role and work of the church is, it's not just for the pastor, it's not just for the preacher, it's not just for the elder, it's not just for the deacon, but it is for all of us. We all participate and we all contribute. Again, when we take a look at what's at stake in being in, one of the things as we prepare for Advent, or here in the season of Advent, as we prepare for the coming of the Lord, for the celebration of Christ's unique birth, this is just one of the single aspects that's important. Because without Christ's birth, without Christ's incarnation, we would not have Christ's earthly ministry. Without his ministry, we would not have Christ's death. And without Christ's death, we would not have Christ's resurrection. So again, each of these individual components are absolutely necessary. Birth, ministry, death, and resurrection. It shows how God literally has broken in to us to be with us. Now, perspective is also very important, because we know that Christ has come, what we're celebrating with Christmas, and we know that Christ will come again. And so here it is again that God has broken into time where we are now. Again, this sense of perspective is important. On one hand, you could say that I am under the cross. Literally here, you can say, I am under the cross. However, it is a matter of perspective. Instead, I would like to look at it from the perspective that Christ is over me. Perspective is important. Again, when we take a look at what's at stake here in this good time, in good time, this whole idea of goodness is a very key part of the creation. Again, you take a look at Genesis and how God creates, and over six consecutive days, God assesses and looks at what God has done, and God says that it is good. By the way, after God rests on the Sabbath, when God looks at time, God says that seventh day, that Sabbath day, it's not good. God calls it holy. The very first thing that God calls holy is not a person. It's not a place. It is time itself. And so the sense of holiness is then imbued. As a matter of fact, if you want to take a look back at the hymnal there, 597, the hymn that we sang, you'll see that there actually is a scripture verse that's there. Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy, quoting Leviticus 11:44. So again, this holiness is not something that we can do on our own. It's something that we are participating in. And you might be asking, well, what is it that we're participating in? I said, you might be asking, what is it that we're participating in? You might all be asking, what are we participating in? I'm so glad you asked. I think that in God's graciousness, that we are participating in God's good time. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, well, Raymond, I don't know if you're paying attention, but it doesn't look like it's all that good at times. You might also be thinking to yourself, Raymond, you have no idea the troubles that I've seen and the burdens that I am carrying now. How can this possibly be good? Again, it is all a matter of perspective. The larger perspective, again, is one under the cross, or is Christ over us? I would say that we have the opportunity to participate in the goodness of creation, because that in and of itself is literally what the gospel means. The gospel, coming from the Anglo-Saxon term, Godspell, literally means good news. The gospel is good news. We can see it right here with what John is proclaiming, John the Baptist, when John says, "See, I am sending a messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." That's what was written about John in Isaiah chapter 40. But here John comes forward, appearing, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Repentance and forgiveness. They go together like steak and eggs, like peanut butter and jelly, like cookies and milk, like insert two things here. Yeah, I see some people thinking chocolate and peanut butter. I see other people thinking, boy, I wish he'd stop talking about food. I'm getting hungry. But the good news is this, in that what God gives us in Christ is food for our souls. And these things are intertwined. Don't take John's word for it. Don't take my word for it. Again, look at what Christ's first words are in the Gospel of Mark. Chapter 1, verse 15. "The time has come. The kingdom of heaven has drawn near. Repent and believe the good news." This gospel, this good news that we have, this is not something that is just in our time. This is something that is there proclaimed for all time, for all people, for all places. For this is what God wants. God wants us to have a good time in Christ. Therefore, it is in Christ that we will have and be in good time. As a matter of fact, it could almost be a holy time. This, by the way, is one of the reasons why I really do appreciate the season of Advent, because in this day and age, it is all too easy at any point in time to get whatever we want right now. Again, you take a look at, want to listen to a song? Let's download it right now. Want to watch a movie? Let's download it right now. Want something brought to your house? Well, it used to be that it would be 2-day shipping. Now it's 1-day shipping. And now, actually, Amazon, in their eternal thoughtfulness, will deliver something to your home the same day. But yet, here in the church, we decide that we are going to reflect and we are going to wait, because it is then that we celebrate here now in this good time of what God has done in Christ through his birth, what God continues to do with us, and what God will do. That is a good time. Alleluia and amen.